Your views, your news, your Limerick Today with Joe Nesh on Live 95.
Now, NASA's ambitious plan to return humans to the moon for the first time in more than 50 years has hit another delay. The Artemis program is designed to send astronauts around the moon, land them near the lunar south pole, and eventually build a long-term human presence there. But technical problems with the powerful space launch system rocket, including hydrogen leaks discovered during testing, mean the next crewed mission, Artemis 2, has been pushed back until at least March, while the first planned landing, Artemis 3, is now unlikely before 2028. David Moore is editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine and is with me now. And good morning to you, David. To explain what's happening, is that why these delays matter and, you know, what to achieve? Because we've got to the moon, haven't we? We did it 50 plus years ago.
Yeah, people often argue about, you know, why do we spend all this much money on space? And on the one hand, it's a prestige project, but it is the future of the human race. I mean, who doesn't believe that, be it decades, centuries, or even millennia in the future, there will be people populating other bodies in this solar system? And the fact that Neil Armstrong, who I had the great privilege of meeting back in 2003, by the way, and he told me he was Irish, but that's a different story, it was really a race, fortunately a less dangerous race than the nuclear arms race we had in the 60s and 70s. And today it's more about industry, commerce, and, you know, there is money to be made on the moon, and private space companies like Elon Musk, SpaceX, Jeff Bezos, Blue Origins have got billion-dollar contracts to do these missions for NASA. And they can do them on their own with the kind of money they have as well. So the future of space is the moon first and probably Mars afterwards, but it's very complicated. It took up, I think it was 5% of the USA's entire federal budget in the 60s to get people to the moon. So it's something you need to do. But the big thing for me as to why we spend money in space is, first of all, our civilization now depends on it. As a huge sunspot crossing the sun, and if it unleashes a flare like the one that happened in 1859, it will destroy our telecommunications infrastructure and be the end of human civilization as we know it. So we're watching that spot very carefully. But as well as that, you develop technologies that you don't know what are the applications in the future. And also you train your workforce into doing the very cutting edge science. And either they themselves or government figures out great industries that can arise from this. And for me, the biggest one is the electronic industries. Everybody's got a smartphone in their pocket, nearly a trillion transistors inside them today. And that was unheard of back in the 60s. And here we are now all running the planet on that basis. So you never know what spin-offs are going to come out. And various studies are done. For each dollar the Americans spend on their space program, they get X dollars back. I've heard numbers from as little as $3 to $9. But it certainly is something that boosts your economy. And the USA has the world's biggest economy, like it or not. And in no small way, that's due to the technologies that they've developed. And the Chinese, by the way, are also racing the Americans to the moon. We're reporting in Astronomy Island magazine this next month that the Chinese have said they're going to get there by 2030, and they don't care where the Americans are going or not.
Right. So why are they looking to land, this is Artemis 3, the southern pole of the moon, and is this about building a permanent base and a human presence there that would be all year round?
Ultimately, yes. And Artemis 1 flew November 2022 after various delays, in about 6 months of them, thanks to these leaks that they're still experiencing, which is a bit of an embarrassment for NASA. But it flew around the moon successfully, and the heat shield got the craft safely back onto the Earth. No people on board. They didn't want to risk that. So Artemis 1 flew. 3 years later, they're going to put four people on the same spacecrafts and fly them around the moon. In fact, they'll go so far away from the moon on the far side, they'll be the most distant humans ever to leave Earth. And it's a different type of crew. You know, back in the 60s, things were a little different. There were 12 white males who went to the moon. Now they're one of NASA's publicly said they're going to put a person of colour, a female astronaut, on the moon, and the Artemis 3 crew, who will go probably 2 years, it could be late next year, that seems ambitious, 2028, perhaps. Trump has said he wants it to happen during his term of office. And so we've got these three missions. Artemis 1 has gone, Artemis 2, next time they can go is March the 6th, and then Artemis 3 will land people on the moon. They won't be setting up the base first thing immediately, but the idea is after that, the South Pole is very good because we know that deep craters never have the sunshine inside them, and that's what seems to manage them to accumulate water, which you don't want to have to ship to the moon. It'd be very expensive. You'd have it on the moon. You can make fuel out of it. People can live off it, obviously. There's dust on the lunar surface that you can make into basically concrete and build structures. And there are lots of companies and scientists and engineers around the world working on exactly how you do this to build habitats in the future. And there's going to be a space station orbiting the moon as well. The contracts are out for that already. That the astronauts can use as a ferry station to get up and down from the moon. So it's going to be feeling your way along. It'd be difficult to say when all this comes to fruition, but hopefully in our lifetimes and within a decade, there could be a permanently manned base on the moon. The big question will be, do they speak English or do they speak Chinese?
Right, okay. We're talking to David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. The one part, I suppose, that the casual observer might struggle to understand here is, does this not feel like we did it all? I mean, humanity 50 plus years ago, I mean, I know there are conspiracy theories that it never happened, but most people accept that we did actually land people on the moon decades ago.
Yeah, the first thing I'll say about the conspiracy theories is they can be easily disproved, and I've talked to some of the people behind them who thought you've lost money doing this. That was one of the great takeaways I had from it. But I've not just met Neil Armstrong, I met a few of the moonwalkers, Buzz Aldrin, who, by the way, doesn't think going to the moon is a good idea. He wants to go straight to Mars. That's a lot more expensive and be more difficult to fund. So that's not a realistic expectation, as they're now showing. But the problem with all of this is the cost and how we're going to get there. You know, NASA wants to farm a lot of things out to private companies and let industry get on with it, because there are minerals that you can mine on the moon that are very difficult to collect on the Earth. And you could use a moon base as a staging post to go to Mars because it's got 1/6 of the gravity. And it could be easier to launch a rocket from there, especially you can make the fuel on the moon and go to Mars from there. It's about like what's been happening a lot of the science fiction programs we've watched down through the decades.
Right. So if you were able to build your presence on the moon and you had, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people living there on the base, then that would be an easier launch pad out into further space, including Mars.
Yeah, I mean, definitely from the gravitational point of view, there is a huge manufacturing infrastructure on the Earth, it has to be said. So the cost of producing things on Earth would be a lot lower than it will initially be on the moon. But you know, you have to start somewhere. And Armstrong going in the 60s, like you said earlier, we've done it all before. That was really a prestige project. It happened a lot earlier than it should have happened technologically. It was a political decision. I mean, we could go into the history of it and how the Bay of Pigs in the early 60s during Kennedy's term left him wanting to do something. And this came up with one proposal to continue the space race and beat the Russians to the moon, because the Russians had beaten America into space with Yuri Gagarin. They did the first spacewalk. They did the first space docking. They'd done everything to beat the Americans, which was very embarrassing at the time. And they almost beat the Americans to the moon. The Apollo 11 mission launched in July 69. And earlier that year, the Russians had launched their moon rocket, suffered a catastrophic failure. And if it had been successful, it could be a Russian name that we all remember as the first person to land on the moon. After the Americans had beat the Russians, there wasn't much point in continuing. The science behind it was important, but not a 5% of the federal budget importance. Public interest drained as well. And the future missions, Apollo 17 was the last one in December 72. 18, 19, 20 were planned. They got cancelled or repurposed as space stations. And, you know, here we are 50 years later. Nobody's walked on the moon since.
Right.
But the plan now is to go back and do it for the right reasons and keep doing it for the future.
Okay.
This is the way it probably should have happened without the politics.
Right, I understand. And, you're saying, presumably, there are huge risks, obviously, here, but that it is what? Safer and the technology is better and all of that?
Well, we've had some terrible disasters in the space program over the years. I mean, there have only been just over 600 people have been to space. 7 were killed in the 2 shuttle disasters, and there have been other deaths as well. So if you count approximately 20 deaths in 600 astronauts, there aren't many professions where 1 in 30 people die. So, you know, it is a dangerous profession. There are a lot of safety procedures in place, but, you know, NASA had this terrible problem with the Challenger disaster in 1986, killing those 7 astronauts. And then in 2003, they had another failure for somewhat slightly similar reasons to do with how they look after safety. So today, last weekend's test of the hydrogen leaks in the rocket, there's so many levels of safety tests and redundant systems and escape mechanisms to ensure there's no loss of life. It may still cost you billions of dollars, but at least no one is going to die. And some people could argue maybe they're being a little bit too careful, but I'm sure if you're one of the astronauts, you'll be glad of that. So it's a difficult line to walk between excessive safety and excessive recklessness. And I don't envy NASA in planning the process, but they've pushed back the mission now to March the 6th. Will it go on March the 6th? There are other tests that have to be done. These hydrogen leaks they're having seem to be dogging the Artemis program. Hopefully they'll solve them once and for all. And, you know, we'll have people going around the moon this year and hopefully landing next year or the year after. And that would be a huge boost to mankind's exploration of the solar system.
Right. And very briefly, you want to mention a public online lecture that's coming up on Monday, I think.
Yeah, we love all this, and we love doing public events. We're just a group of members of the public who are fascinated by space, and now our talks are online. They happen every month. There's one about galaxies, our own Milky Way, and other types of galaxies. It's where we all came from. Every atom in our body came from the material in our Milky Way galaxy. If you want to know more about that, at a layman's level, go to our website, astronomy.ie. You'll see the lecture promoted there. You can watch it from the comfort of your own home online, 7 o'clock on Monday, by a world-class speaker. And, you know, if this fascinates you, sign up for Astronomy Island magazine. We're the world's most popular astronomy society, and we want to get bigger.
All right. Fascinating. Listen, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. We'll obviously see what might happen this year and into next year as well with those rockets heading to the moon. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine.
Your views, your news, your Limerick today.